Chapter 6. There are many who can take only a hasty trip to the canyon. This is to be deplored, as the Grand Canyon is one of the sights that cannot be fully comprehended in a day, and yet, if one has but a day, to get merely one good long glimpse at it is worth all the effort and expense that it may cost, even to the least wealthy of its visitors. And while it cannot be too strongly urged that all who come prepare themselves to stay at least a week, a month is far better, I offer a few practical suggestions to those who have less time and wish to use it to the fullest possible advantage. Three suggestions to the needy visitor. To those who have but one full day, a choice is offered of three courses. First, and best of all, to drive to the head of Hermit Trail on the New Hermit Rim Road, and to visit the Avapai and Tapai points. The second, to drive to Grand View. The third, to ride down Bright Angel Trail. First trip, an afternoon on Hermit Rim Road to head of Hermit Trail. To the less strenuous visitor who wishes to see all he can in one day without the fatigue of the trail trip, two courses are open, both of which include driving to prominent points on the rim and sightseeing in their vicinity. One is to drive out on Hermit Rim Road, which drive will give a variety of scenery unequaled by any other trip to be made on the rim. This trip, giving panorama views to the west of Eltover, can be made in one half of the day, let us say the afternoon, leaving the morning for a drive to Avapai Point, which gives corresponding panoramas to the east, though Avapai is only 3 miles from the hotel. It is 9 miles west of Eltover to the head of Hermit Trail on the New Hermit Rim Road, and about 3.5 hours are required for the trip in addition to whatever time is consumed in sightseeing at the various points on which stops are made. The road passes Maricopa, Hopi, Mohave, and Pima points, and some time is spent on each, as there is some special appeal in the buttes, and the cliffs and the depths as seen from each, but all along the route the gigantic panorama of Grand Canyon stretches for miles and miles, a world of beauty. All along the route the attention is claimed by some surprising feature, the precipices of the opposite wall, the great interior rock temples, and side canyons, and everywhere the incomparable colors. A picturesque shelter house is to be constructed at the end of the road, which is near the head of Hermit Trail, where visitors driving on the rim road may rest, before returning to Eltover, or before starting down the trail. On the return journey the scene is entirely different, owing to the magic of the sun's shadows, which have changed the aspect of every wall and chasm and temple, whether in the gorge below, or across the river, and up the side canyons to the Kaibab Plateau on the north rim, and from October to May, during the shorter days, if the return is made late in the afternoon a stop will be made at Tapai Point, one of the best points on the south rim from which to watch the glories of the setting sun. A chapter describing the Hermit Rim Road and Hermit Trail will be found in this book, but from no description can one comprehend the magnitude and the silent grandeur of the canyon as they are impressed upon the senses from this highway and from this trail. A morning trip to Avapai Point. Though Avapai Point is but 3 miles away, the drive and the time required for sightseeing occupy about 2 hours. Leaving Eltover, the road plunges among the trees at once on passing the railway. Here are pines, pinyons and junipers, with a sprinkling of scrub oaks, and the flowering bush with white flowers and long velvety tendrils locally known as the cinchona. Here and there a yucca baccata thrusts out its bayonets from the ground, as if in warning, and a score more of flowers give variety of color to the greens of the trees, in due season. Outlook from the Avapai Point. Arrived at the Avapai Point, the river can be clearly seen at two different places. Before us, directly across the canyon, is the Bright Angel Gorge, with a full view of Zoroaster, Brahma, and Deva temples. To the right, the nearest promontory is Yakai Point. Below the point, its continuation terminates in a butte of great massiveness, which has been named O'Neill Butte, after the Arizona pioneer who was slain during the charge of the Rough Riders at San Juan Hill. Beyond Yagai Point, in the far away east, two other great promontories arrest the attention. These are way beyond Grandview and the old Ants trails, and are Pinal and Lipan points, leading the eye to a AV wall, slightly to their left. This wall, topped with a series of curves, is the western wall of the Little Colorado River, and the smoother wall beyond, to the left, is the further eastern wall. Here this tributary river and canyon connect with the Grand Canyon, from a general southeasterly course. It will be recalled that transcontinental travelers cross the Little Colorado River at Winslow. From that point it flows in a northwesterly direction, through the sands of the Painted Desert, its banks bearing many and large cottonwood trees. Wotan's Throne. Two majestic buttes in the heart of the canyon, to the east, have been demanding our attention for some time. They are both towering mountains of rock that stand out even more strikingly than do the temples near at hand. The flat top masses Wotan's Throne, once Newberry Terrace, and is as massive as Shiva Temple, seen to the west. Its elevation is 7,700 feet. Vishnu Temple. The more ornate and sculptured of the buttes is Vishnu Temple, a solid mountain of rock carved into a majestic form by centuries of erosion. Wherever one stands, at the eastern end of the canyon, whether on the north or the south, on the promontories at the rim, or on the plateaus beneath, it is the dominating and eye-compelling object. It is, without doubt, the most stupendous mass of nature's carving in the known world. It is 7,537 feet above sea level, and over 5,000 feet above the Colorado River, which practically laves its base. In front of Wotan's Throne, and a trifle nearer the river, is the Angel Gate, described in the chapter on Indian legends. Indian Garden. Now let the eye fall upon the Bright Angel Plateau. The tents at Indian Garden are clearly to be seen as well as any trail party that may happen to be crossing the plateau. The insignificant size of the horses and mules and their riders can scarcely be believed. On the rim the elevation is 7,081 feet. At the garden the elevation is 3,876 feet, so we are looking down 4,205 feet, over 3/4 of a mile. Immediately below us, to the right, we see the rugged gorge of Nisan which flows Pipe Creek. The left fork of this, to the west, is Garden Creek. A small break from Angel Plateau will be observed, where Garden Creek curves to enter Pipe Creek. Here is a beautiful mass of green, and not far away the trail that leads from the plateau to the river is in sight. Eltover Point. A quarter of a mile west from Yavapai Point is Eltover Point, formerly called Grandeur Point, so named because it is the end of the right arm of the amphitheater in which Eltover is located. Its elevation is 7,000 feet. Coconino Forest and Angel Plateau. To the west and south is the Coconino Forest. Beyond is seen the dry bed of the ancient Eocene Lake, and the Blue Ridge, where the lava flows from Mount Floyd shut in the view. It is a glorious expanse of over 100 miles, and on a clear day every object is plainly discerned. Here even better views of the Angel Plateau may be obtained than from the Yavapai Point, and an excellent outlook over the narrow break in the Great Wall, where the shattering of the strata, and the deposition of talus and vegetable matter made possible the building of the zigzag portion of the trail near the top. The faulting of the strata is clearly seen, and the observer will not fail to note that the strata of the left arm of Eltover Amphitheater are thrust up some 100 to 200 feet above the level of the same strata upon which Eltover itself stands. This is one line of the Bright Angel Fault, which extends across the river, and accounts for the carving out of the Bright Angel Gorge as described in the chapter How the Canyon Was Formed. How exquisite is the rich beauty of the greens of the Douglas spruces, and the vegetation on the upper part of the trail, contrasted with the reds and grays and creams and buffs of the rocks around. The round trip from Eltover to Yavapai Point is about 6 miles. A footpath has been cut from Eltover to Eltover Point, so that visitors may walk to and fro between the so diverse, and yet equally attractive outlooks over the canyon. Many visitors, however, after the drive to Evapai Point, go to Hopi Point. And, while this point is passed on the Rim Road Drive, it is also very popular as a morning drive. Drive to Hopi Point. This point is 3 miles to the west, and is just beyond Maricopa Point, which is practically the left arm of Eltover Amphitheater. The round trip is about 6 miles, taking in both points, and occupies from an hour and a half to 2 hours. Those who go in private conveyances generally stay longer, and make a 3-hour trip of it. Leaving Eltover, the road turns southwest for a short distance, and then enters the forest to the north. It is a restful drive over a section of the well-made Hermit Rim Road. View at Hopi Point. The first impression when one arrives at Hopi Point is of the nearness of the buttes, and the sheer precipitousness of the place upon which he stands. Both are owing to the fact that Hopi Point is thrust far into the heart of the canyon. Its elevation is 7,049 feet. Donna Butte. Immediately facing the visitor, a continuation of Hopi Point at the 5,025-foot level, is a butte that would dwarf into insignificance the most stupendous of all the world city skyscrapers. Yet here it is hardly noticeable in the wealth of more massive and majestic structures. It is Donna Butte, so named after the great geologist. Across the river, which here can be seen in 5 different places, are the temples to the right, or east of Bright Angel Gorge, while Buddha and Manu on the left, west, are equally in evidence. But right before us is the dominating mass of Shiva Temple, with Isis Temple and Cheops Pyramid guarding it on the right. To the left, new architectural forms and masses come out into clearer view. Two of these being stupendous structures of great beauty and majesty that guard the approach to Shiva Temple. These are Osiris and Horus temples, the latter being in front. Tower of Set. Just before Horus is a smaller but massive structure, known as the Tower of Set. The elevation of Osiris above sea level is 6,637 feet, that of Horus 6,150 feet, and of the Tower of Set 5,997 feet. Beyond these, to the west and north, are Confucius and Mencius temples, the latter being the nearer. These are respectively at an elevation of 7,128 feet and 7,000 feet. The eye now rests on Point Sublime, the spot where Captain Dutton ended his vividly descriptive accounts of the Great Canyon. Marsh Butte. On this side of the river, nearly opposite Mencius Temple, is a butte of singularly beautiful structure, of an elevation of 4,730 feet. This is named Marsh Butte, in honor of the great paleontologist, the rival of the equally great Cope. In the far away distance is Havasupai Point, the most notable of all the points of the South Rim, because of its great projection over the river. Dutton Point. Across from Havasupai Point, on the north side, is the mass of Powell Plateau, the os of which, facing this way, is named Dutton Point, after the poet-geologist. Beyond, in the faraway distance, is to be seen the curve of the canyon wall, at the great bend of the river, where the granite disappears from the inner gorge, and, resting upon the paler blue of the horizon, is the line of the Uinkaret Mountains in southern Utah, about 65 miles away. What a wondrous outlook it is! On returning, a short stop is made at Maricopa Point, where the views are much the same, but changed by the new angle of vision. It is one of the great charms of the canyon, that each point of view, even though not more than half a mile away, reveals new and interesting features of the stupendous wonder. Second trip drive to Grand View. This is a 14-mile trip, over a fairly good road, made in comfort in 2.5 hours. One may stay from 2 to 4 hours, observe all he wishes to see, and return to Eltover in another 2.5 hours, thus making 28 miles for the round trip. The drive is through the Coconino Forest, by narrow canyon cedos, little canyons, washes, and through grassy glades and royal parks, where one need not be surprised at any moment to see deer or antelope bound before him. A full description of this trip is found in the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.